Good evening and welcome to Trinity Church, the Palm Sunday Vespers with Chancel Choir and Chamber Orchestra. So let me lead us in prayer. Holy Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask that you fall upon us now in this place, in this hour, and in our hearts, and that you would open our eyes to see our sovereign Lord and our humble King and our lowly shepherd, our meek conqueror who has conquered sin and death. And we ask that you speak to us through the Word of God and through hymns and beautiful music. And we pray all of this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. scripture reading from Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 40. And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that is called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you, where on entering you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' you shall say this: 'The Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went away and found it just as he had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owners said to them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.' And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road. As he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of his disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest.' And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' He answered, 'I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out.'" The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Now, when you are asked to preach on Palm Sunday evening, it's a little difficult because you know that almost everyone who will be here will have already heard a sermon about Palm Sunday, right? So what do you preach on? Well, I chose Luke chapter 6, verses 24 to 26, and you have it written for you in your order of service. I'm going to read that now. It says this, "But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." Let's pray. Lord, this is your word. We pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts in Christ's name. Amen. The first 3 years that I was in college, most people here know that I went to Mississippi State University. The first 3 years that I was in college, by some random act of the Lord, we were really good at football. I can't explain it, but I'm not joking. You can go and look it up. 98, 99, 2000. And we were so good. We were so good that my friends and I, we decided in 2001, well, we're just going to go to every game. We're going to go to the away games too. We're going to go to every single game because we're going to be so good. So good. We drove more than 9 hours to Gainesville, Florida to watch Mississippi State lose 52-0. We won 3 games that year, and we would not win. I did the math. For the next 9 years, the next 9 seasons, we would average less than 4 wins a year. But for some reason, that was unthinkable to me. After my first 3 years, we were so good. What happened? It was like the rug had been snatched right under our feet. It was really never going to be placed there again. I say that because Palm Sunday, in a much greater way, had to feel like that, looking back for the disciples, right? They're looking back and Jesus is walking into Jerusalem and people are laying their palm branches at his feet and crying out, "Hosanna, and you're the Lord." And all these songs that have been performed so masterfully, they talk about this, right? All the songs that we sung about this, they had to be thinking, as I was thinking, you know, we run this thing now. We're in charge. And little did they know that everything was going to change. It wasn't that Christ hadn't been warning them. He had been. He had been saying, I'm going to die, but they didn't always get it. In fact, most of the time they didn't get it. And so they had to have been shocked. We know that they were shocked and dismayed. And when I think about how that must have felt, I think about this last little inverted beatitude in our passage. It says, "Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This passage comes in Luke chapter 6. It's a shortened version of the Beatitudes where Jesus says, does 4 Beatitudes. Blessed are you if you're poor, or blessed are you if you're hungry. And then he follows it up with the inverse of the Beatitudes where he says, woe to you if you are the opposite, right? And when we hear that word, woe to you, it's not woe like W-H-O-A, like, whoa, that was crazy. And it's not like that. It's W-O-E, and it might sound to you like Jesus is speaking in condemnation or judgment when he says, woe to you. But that's not the way that this word is used in the Greek. Jesus is not saying, shame on you if you're rich, or shame on you if you're full, or shame on you if you laugh, or shame on you if people speak well of you. Instead, he's saying this. He's saying, that's a shame. That's a real shame. It's a word that is often used in a compassionate sense, with a sense of regret. Like, oh, I wish that hadn't happened to you. Well, what's so strange about the way that Jesus speaks here is he says, man, I wish that hadn't happened to you, you being rich. Or I wish that hadn't happened to you, that you are full. Or, man, it's a real shame that you laugh. Or, man, that's really tough that people speak well of you. And that doesn't make any sense to us, okay? Jesus is taking something that we really live out and believe, and he is turning it on its head. Because if I told you the things that bring woe, being rich, being full, being happy, being esteemed, is that not like your dream for your children? How many people in here want their children to be rich, full, happy, and esteemed? You don't have to raise your hands. I know the answer. It's every single one of you. How many of us want to be rich, happy, full, and esteemed? How much of our time and energy is spent chasing after those things? And Jesus says, oh, did you get those things? Man, that's a real shame. And he doesn't say it sarcastically. He means it. What do we do with this? Everything that we've been living our life for, we should live for the opposite? How many of you remember, or maybe this is still a thing, I'm not a Sam's Club member, so I don't, but I know some of you are. Do they, maybe you can just nod if this is true, if you're a Sam's Club member, do they still have Sam's Choice Cola? Is that still a thing? Do you remember growing up, maybe if you're my age or older, going to Walmart and there would be a Coke machine and right beside it there would be Sam's Choice? It would be red and it would taste like Coke. Or maybe you remember or have eaten generic cereal. You know, you didn't get Cinnamon Toast Crunch, which came in a box with a game on the back or maybe a prize inside. Instead, you got the thing that was only in the bag and it was called, I wrote it down, Bunch of Cinnamon Squares. The other day, my wife and I were trying to find, this is such a first world problem, our children wanted to see, our youngest child wanted to see Secret Life of Pets 2. And the way the TV works now is we just type it in and it tells us if it's available somewhere in a streaming platform. And then we know, do we have the streaming platform or not? We don't know. We have to find out. And they told us, the Life of Pets 2 is on this streams over. It's called Tubi, T-U-B-I. Apparently it's free. So we clicked on Tubi and we found it. And it was not The Secret Life of Pets 2. It was just called The Life of Pets 2. And it was a completely different cartoon with none of the characters that were supposed to be in it. What I'm talking about is the generic versus the genuine, right? The generic versus the genuine. And what Jesus is saying here is he's not saying, well, it's bad to be rich and it's good to be poor. And it's bad to be full and it's good to be hungry. It's bad to be happy or to laugh and it's good to cry. Or it's bad for people to think well of you and speak well of you. And it's good if people hate you and revile you. I don't think that's really what he's saying here. What he's saying is this. He is bemoaning the fact that many of us and the people that he was talking to, that they accept the generic instead of the genuine article. They settle. We settle for the generic instead of receiving the genuine article. We are made, if you are in my hearing right now, you were made to receive an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled, where moth and rust cannot destroy it, where thieves cannot break in and steal it. But how often do you settle for earthly riches? How often do you live for material things? How often do I do it? You were made to labor, as Jesus tells us in John chapter 6. You were made to labor for the food that does not perish, that endures to eternal life. But how often do we settle for the thing that will make me feel happy for just this moment? The thing that will satisfy my hunger. We know it won't last, but I'll go to it yet again. You're made for a joy that is full in both plenty and want, but how often are you tempted or am I tempted to settle for a happiness that is completely circumstantial? If I have this thing, this status, this object, whatever it is, this will make me happy. You are made to hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." But how often do you just settle for, "Well, most people like me. People, I have a good reputation among people." Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 31 and 34. Because I think when you hear that sermon, or that part of the sermon, you might say to yourself, "Well, what are we supposed to do, like not eat?" Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 6, 31 and 34. He says, "Therefore, do not be anxious," which is one of Jesus' least popular commands. "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things." And pay close attention to what he says here. "And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." He knows that you need them all. But what does he say next? I bet some of you already know, because it's a very famous little verse. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." If I can sum up what Jesus is saying in this little inverted beatitude, he's saying this: if you live as if this is the only thing there is, and this world is the only thing there is, then it is. If you live like this world is all there is, and this is your home, and this is where you belong, then guess what? It is all there is, and it is where you belong. But, if you live for someone else, for something greater, if you believe that your home is not here, but is with your Savior, Jesus Christ, who died for you, then guess what? This is not all there is. As good as it is, or as bad as it is, this is going to end. And there's something much greater coming. And before we close, I just want to point out one thing. How do we get these solid joys and lasting treasures that none but Zion's children know? How do we get these genuine things? We get it by Jesus taking these blessings for us. Jesus says, "Blessed are you when you're poor." In 2 Corinthians, it says, "Jesus was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, by his poverty, might become rich." Jesus says, "Blessed if you're hungry. You know that Jesus knew what it was like to miss a meal. But listen to what it says in John 6:51. Jesus says, "But the bread that I give for the life of the world is my flesh." Jesus says, "Blessed are those who weep. He was a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. He weeps for Lazarus. He laments for Jerusalem." Jesus says, Blessed are you when people revile you." Jesus was reviled and belittled his entire life. Even when he was dying on the cross, people took the chance to revile him and mock him and scoff at him. The way in which you receive the genuine article is that Jesus endures the cost of all that fake stuff that we run after. I just had some work done on my house. And they did a thing. There was a pipe, an old pipe in my house that needs to be replaced. And it's made of some material that's not good and is ready to die. Cast iron. That's what it's made of, cast iron. And they replaced it in a very weird way. They did a thing called pipelining. Have you guys ever heard of this? They push this goo through the pipe. They clog up the pipe, right? And then they blow like some kind of bladder or like sock through it or whatever. And that goo that's in the pipe, it forms around the edge of the pipe. And it bursts the old pipe open. And it hardens. And there's a new pipe now. There, a brand new, they just finished it. There's a brand new pipe there, right? Here's what Jesus is saying when he's talking about, "Blessed are those who are poor, but woe to those who are rich." He's turning the world on its ear. And he wants to give you a new heart from the inside. He wants to give you meaning and significance and joy that lasts. He wants to do it from the inside. But what is going to happen is, that does mean that some of the old is going to have to die. Some of the old is going to have to die. But what takes its place is what you were always meant to be and what lasts forever. Well, praise be to God. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word because your word is truth. Lord, help us, break us of our addiction to these generic facsimiles of what we're really made for. Lord, break us of our people-pleasing. Lord, break us of our striving for riches or notoriety or ease or comfort. Lord, show us the real thing. Lord, give it to us in Christ. We thank you. And it's his name that we pray. Amen.